Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. It is Saturday, February 23rd, 2019. So I posted a piece this morning entitled, I Canceled My New York Times Subscription. And it's true, I did cancel my New York Times subscription. It's not out of the blue. I've been thinking about it for a long time. After the 2016 election, I probably should have done it because the Times not only was played, I'm not going to say they were responsible for what happened, but they played a very large role in it. And they basically handed Trump a fake issue, Hillary's emails, and it just dogged her the whole campaign. I mean, basically, if you were there, I don't need to explain it to you. It was just all different variations on how she's reacting to the story of Hillary's emails. Never mind that there really wasn't a story. The Times wrote this piece saying, well, we discovered she has an email server. We don't see anything specifically wrong with that, but we just thought it could be a scandal. So we'll put it out there, we'll put it on page one, and we'll make it sound like a scandal. And everybody will get confused, and they'll just go, oh, well, there must be something here. Give the reporter something to write about, something new to write about Hillary Clinton that trashes her in an unfair way. I mean, I have gone through all of the stages of Hillary from hating her originally in when she first was the first lady, Bill Clinton's first lady. And I've actually done a podcast about this. There was a moment when I discovered she wasn't who I thought she was because I was listening to her on NPR being interviewed without knowing it was her. And her voice wasn't that familiar to me. And whoever it was being very intelligent, very thoughtful, spoke very well. It's like, and then I actually had to sit in my car waiting because I had arrived where I was going. I had to sit in my car to wait to find out who it was. And my jaw dropped to the floor when they said it was Hillary Clinton. And I go, wow, well, you see, I guess I was wrong. This was good that I heard this because it's like, I've watched for this in other places in my life, how I judge people based on some very shallow impressions, you know, and how often those judgments are wrong. The New York Times really dug up nothing on her, and they should have held the story, realizing that this isn't a normal election. And that's what this podcast is about. It's a subtle, difficult point, apparently, to get across. Seems very intuitive to me. When you've got one candidate, Donald Trump, on one side, and you've got Hillary Clinton on the other side, you have to try to strike some kind of a balance. Trump is out there standing in public calling for Russia to hack Hillary Clinton's email server. That's on one side. On the other side, how can you give him shit for that, right? Did the press give him shit? There's nothing to talk about. He did something awful. We all saw him do it. And his presidency has just been more of that piled on top of, people say we've gotten numb to it. I haven't gotten numb to it. It's appalling to me that we haven't acted on this. The Helsinki summit with Putin was all the evidence anybody could possibly have ever needed to know that this is a very dangerous situation we're in. We need to fix it. We need to get out of the danger. We need to start making some balanced decisions. People threaten there'll be a civil war. Yeah, okay. But I balance that against the other alternative, which is terrible. I mean, a civil war in the United States is something we would probably survive. It probably wouldn't be anywhere near as big as people say it is. People like to talk big, but when it comes time to it, people may be unhappy with the way the world is working, but I don't think they're ready to die for it. I really don't. I think they like the attention, the drama. It makes for good TV to talk about civil war, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Whatever we would actually see is probably way better than what we're headed for. And I know it's hard to hear that, but I really think it's obviously true. So you've got a field of Democrats, and okay, now I get it. The New York Times is just going to run exactly the same playbook that they did in the 2016 election. They're just going to do it again. And I mean, I was so sad. I was so depressed when I saw them do this with Amy Klobuchar. Is an ideal candidate. She's smart. She speaks well. She's confident. She is from the Midwest. She's fucking moderate. She can work with Republicans. I don't think the Republicans are lying when they say they like Amy Klobuchar. I know why they like Amy Klobuchar. I like her for those reasons too. That I understand that our government is about compromise. It's designed for compromise. And people who think they can win it all are wrong. They can't win it all. What you want to do is you want to elect somebody who will measure public opinion, sentiment, have a feel for it, not just from reading polls, but really understand where the country is going, and then use that to guide them. And I think that's, you can't hope for a better candidate than Amy Klobuchar. She is, and she's a woman. And it's about fucking time we elected a woman. We need to put a woman at the top of our government. Because, I mean, it's time already. We need to do that. And so she has it all. On the other side is, I couldn't believe we're being asked. I'm not even wanting to repeat it. It's so ridiculous. I mean, look. We all do things that we wouldn't like to see in the New York Times. and, you know, here on the other side. Now, let's say Klobuchar actually could be our nominee. I really think she should be our nominee in the Democrat. I mean, when I say, I'm not a Democrat, by the way. I say our because I see Trump as a rolling disaster. And that needs to stop. So it's in our interest to have somebody who is a strong opponent, and you just handed him on a silver platter exactly how he's going to trash Amy Klobuchar. You just gave it to him. Look at what happened last time. The Times runs a big piece about Hillary's emails. They follow it up a few more times. Oh, yes, there will be more stories about Klobuchar's comb. This is going to echo through the entire, I mean, unless something really bizarre happens, which isn't likely to happen, this is it. It's going to be, this is her emails, the fucking comb. The New York Times, I don't get them. I really don't. On the one hand, you get the publisher standing up and making a credible case that calling the press the enemy of the people is a terrible thing to do. And on the other side, they do this kind of shit. You know, you want to go further down that road? You created that. You created that situation where we have a president who says shit like that. Because you didn't find a way to strike a balance. In a normal campaign where both parties have put up people who could actually govern the country, and you want to make an issue of her email server, there are ways to see that as being an appropriate thing to do. You know, here we are at a certain point in technology. We really ought to shake this kind of stuff out. We ought to get some rules, processes for dealing with this. And if we kill the candidacy of this, you know, we kill this candidacy, at least we've got the other guy. Yes, he's going to lower taxes. He's going to run up the deficit. He's probably going to start a war. But we'll get the email thing dealt with. I'm a technologist, and I don't actually think they accomplished anything there in that, along those lines. I think they just made us a lot more confused about email servers, actually. I'm not confused about them. I've run email servers. I know what an email server is. I use them all the time. I understand a lot of issues about them that they never got close to. Anyway, I will miss the New York Times. It's fact. I will. There is some good stuff in the New York Times. They cover some topics that really do need to be covered very well. Like climate change is like the biggest topic in the world and will be for the rest of our lives. You know, can't think of a bigger topic than that, the survival of our species. And there are many challenges like that. And Amy Klobuchar's comb isn't anywhere near any of it. They don't have anybody running that shop down there. That's the way I look at it. It's like there's nobody, there's no guiding principles there. There's nobody with a strong enough personality. You know, good organizations run when they have a strong leader and they have somebody who people focus on and develop an understanding of and can ask themselves the question, what would so-and-so do? And then do that. That's how organizations get coordinated and work as teams. And, you know, I've seen it happen in the tech industry. You know, you may not like Bill Gates, but everybody at Microsoft had a pretty good idea of how he thought. And so that his values propagated down the organization for better or worse. Steve Jobs was the same way. You know, there was a certain sense, you know, Steve sightings in the hallway and, you know, they hear stories, legends of him. You know, he was not a good boss, FYI. I don't think a lot of people liked working for Steve Jobs, nor Bill Gates for that matter. I mean, some people did like working for Bill Gates. I know that. Probably some people liked working for Steve Jobs too. But honestly, as a voter, that's not even on my radar. I don't give a shit whether she's a good boss or not. Honestly. I also doubt that she's such a bad boss, actually, too. Because, you know, it's hard to hide that. If she's hiding it, she's doing a really great job of it. She actually seems like a pretty warm, you know, interesting, thoughtful, considerate, not narcissistic. I mean, way, way better than the president we have right now. And I think all of the reporting on the candidates has to factor that in. That's the point of this podcast. You have to show some restraint, and you have to not judge the Democratic candidates as if the Republicans were putting up somebody who could actually do the job. That's the problem, because they don't have a candidate who can do the job, and we're dealing with that now, and we can't do another 4 years of this. If we do, well, it's our fault that he's there. If you believe that paying $15 a month to the New York Times makes that my problem, and it does, I guess. I'm not doing it again. And this is where we say goodbye. So, thanks for listening.